G'day you mob, how's it going? My name is Pete and this is Aussie English, the number one place for anyone and everyone wanting to learn Australian English. Today I have a very special episode for you where myself and Charlie from the British English Podcast, we are going to be breaking down our top tips for how to speak English confidently, for how to build confidence when speaking English. So let's get into it. All right, so the first tip here is preparation. Like with studying an exam, it is much more effective to prepare ahead of time than just cram a few days before the exam, which was pretty much what I always did. But, you know, do what I say, not what I do. So make sure that you're studying on a regular basis, that you're preparing yourself on a regular basis. There's no secret formula for getting better at a language, like with getting better with any other kind of hobby or activity. You just have to put in the time and improve things. So confidence comes with being able to communicate effectively and clearly in English. There are two aspects to communication: sending and receiving information, i.e. speaking and listening. Therefore, in order to prepare your English and to build confidence, it's incredibly important that you work on both listening skills and speaking skills together. It's not enough to just have one of these that are leveled up like crazy and the other one all the way down here. They both need to be on par at a good level. So ask yourself these questions. What's your current plan for improving your speaking and listening comprehension in English? How long do you want to spend studying each day where it's still going to be fun but also effective? Which topics do you need to understand and to speak about on a regular basis? Which areas or topics in your English listening and speaking are the weakest and need the most work? What kind of content can you consume in order to build up the vocab that you need to understand and to use in these topics? Lastly, as we went over in the How to Build Your Fluency episode, make sure that once you've asked yourself these questions and you start to structure a study plan for yourself, aim to make it fun and to make it last a long time, okay? You want to build a habit and it takes about 60 days to do so. That's when you're going to get the real results.
So the next tip we have for you is moving away from the logistics of your studies and structure of your scheduling. And instead, we're going to look inwards. We're going to get the Tibetan bowls out and do some chanting and ask you, are you everything that you imagined you could be? Okay, I won't go that far. But I do want to ask you why you think you lack confidence in your English. Is that lack of confidence warranted? Meaning, is it logical or fair to have that lack of confidence? I mean, considering you can understand this video means you have already achieved a huge amount of success in your language learning journey. So why don't you give yourself enough credit for what you've achieved with your English? And I'm guessing, because you're watching this video, you only focus on what you still want to achieve. Am I right? Well, when I finished reading psychology at university, I found great pleasure in a practice and way of being called mindfulness. So much so that I started creating mindfulness workshops for 8-year-old kids, as I believed it would be planting a seed of happiness in anyone and everyone who adopted mindfulness into their daily lives. And to do it at a young age would be the answer to, you know, the world's problems. Ironically, I wasn't patient enough to see this idea through, and I also wanted to see a bit more of the world whilst young. Hence, I started teaching English and travelling around the world, starting in South America. But I still have a huge respect for this way of being and thinking. Now, 10 years ago, I would have assumed I'd need to explain what mindfulness is. But in the last 4 or 5 years, I've seen more mindfulness and meditation apps come out than I can count up to in French. Let's see. Un, deux, trois. Un, deux, trois, quatre, cinq, six, sept, huit, neuf, dix, onze, douze, treize, quatorze, quinze, seize, dix-sept, dix-huit, dix-neuf, vingt, vingt et donc. 21. 21, apparently. So more than 21 meditation and mindfulness apps have launched in the last 4 or 5 years. But if you still don't know of this Eastern and largely Buddhist practice, the idea is to train yourself to stop thinking in the future or the past, and to start appreciating the now, which really calms our internal dialogue and allows us to be much more content with life rather than focusing on the things we don't have in life yet, that thing we did wrong in the past, the worry that you're not good enough for the thing in the future. All of these anxieties become less intense, and this is why mindfulness, if done right, is something we can use towards gaining confidence in speaking a foreign language. Personally, it really helped me feel more grounded in life, meaning well-balanced and kind of more sensible, less erratic in my decision-making, I'd say. Now, I said if done right earlier because mainstream media has gotten on the bandwagon with this approach and have created all these easy-to-access apps, which is good and bad. It's good because it means people who take to mindfulness smoothly and easily and they get it, or people who have already been introduced to mindfulness before can really benefit from a wide array of resources all on their phone. But most people I've seen download an app, listen to a couple of guided meditations or mindfulness sessions, and then they give up because it ironically hasn't grabbed their attention. And they go away thinking, oh, yeah, I've tried that approach, but it's not for me. But really, I challenge those people and that kind of thought, as this approach to life has been around for ages, for millennia. But social media, that has only been around, 15 years, if that, and the fast pace of life that most of us have been encouraged to take really is a million miles away from mindfulness. So it's no wonder most people don't get it straight away. And I want to stress, this isn't a quick fix. You're not going to sit down, have one session and be cured. It's not like an injection. It's not a vaccine against anxiety. But as having more confidence when speaking a foreign language is such a fundamental to reaching the level that you probably want to get to, I highly recommend taking mindfulness-based cognitive therapy seriously, especially if you find yourself lacking confidence when speaking. Now, I'll leave a link in the description box below to a book that helped me better understand mindfulness. And I will also be creating guided mindfulness sessions directly related to learning English soon. So join my email list on the BritishEnglishPodcast.com if you are interested in hearing about that one day in the future.
Number three, like with meditation, as Charlie went over, it may sound a little strange, but having a positive mindset is incredibly important here when it comes to things like making mistakes in English. So many of my students tell me about not wanting to speak or second guessing themselves when they are speaking because they're afraid of making mistakes. Look, I know it's easier said than done, but one of the biggest things that you need to do is build a positive mindset around making mistakes. And instead of viewing them negatively, like, oh my God, that's embarrassing, I wasn't perfect, you need to view it as more, wow, I've just made a mistake and I'm going to use this to learn something and improve myself. Remember my acronym, COP, C-O-P, communication over perfection. No one expects nor wants you to be perfect. They simply want to be able to understand and communicate with you. Remember, if you can understand this video and you can follow things, your English is probably at a level where the majority of the mistakes you're making won't affect communication. They're going to be minor things like verb conjugation or pronunciation. If someone needs to verify what you've said or they're not quite sure, they'll just ask you to repeat yourself. And even myself as a native English speaker, I make errors all the time. I've probably made some in this video. And people often ask me to repeat myself as well. And it's probably the same thing for you in your native language. So the most important thing here is have a positive mindset and also realistic expectations. You're not trying to be a spy. Your English doesn't need to be perfect 100% of the time. No one's is. So be nicer to yourself and try and view mistakes as stepping stones towards improvement.
And going on from Pete's point about accepting mistakes as a learning experience, you want to find somebody or many people to practice your language skills with, be it a language tutor or language partner, and isolate specific topics to build your vocabulary islands. If you haven't heard us talk about these islands before, it is a metaphor of your knowledge base regarding different topics. You might have an island that is so big it rivals the height of Mount Everest in regards to your work-related language, be it niched to an industry or in general, corporate business English. But if you swim away from that island, do you have any other islands around to save you? Or are you going to drown? I hope you don't drown and you have an island that you can swim to if we were to talk about sports. How big is your island on sports vocabulary or wildlife or scientific research, TV series, describing a book, all of these things? Do you have the vocabulary to support these kind of topics? And you want to be building vocabulary to support all of these types of conversations. So find a language partner or tutor and take turns talking about a single area of interest or personal topic for about 1 minute without stopping. Challenge yourself to that. And then you could even quiz one another on a specific topic for around 5 minutes, where you ask your partner as many questions as possible around that topic. And then have open discussions where you work not just on your islands of vocabulary, but also how to link them together and keep transitioning between all of these different topics. You can check out our video up here or in the description box on how to build English fluency to learn more about building your islands of vocabulary. But going back to practicing with a language partner, pay attention to where you or your partner has trouble and keep working on improving one another's fluency around these weak spots. You could even record the conversations you have, especially if you're doing it online, and review them later and ask yourself, where could you have made improvements? Where are you doing well, though? You've got to remember that. And how are you progressing generally? Then when it comes to speaking with people elsewhere in the real world, you'll be able to do so with much greater confidence, knowing that you are able to handle yourself in a lot of different topics.
All right, point number 5, pronunciation. Now, we've talked a little bit about this in the previous videos on how to improve your listening comprehension and your fluency in English, but pronunciation is incredibly important when it comes to confidence, when it comes to speaking confidence. Why is that the case? A big part of why a lot of the students I've had in the past lack confidence when speaking English is because they're worried that people aren't going to understand them, or they're worried that people are going to ask them to repeat themselves and that it's going to be embarrassing or awkward situation. The key here really isn't to shy away from those situations, because ultimately that just leads to you speaking less English. The key here is to keep working on your pronunciation. It's something that you're going to have to do for a very long time. It's something that I do in both French and Portuguese. It just never ends. It's kind of like going to the gym. You can't just do a 12-week transformation where you work out and you eat healthily for 12 weeks and then you just get to keep the body that you get at the end of that and your fitness for the rest of time. For the rest of your life, you pretty much have to keep going to the gym and eating well. It's the same with pronunciation in a foreign language. It's something that you need to pay attention to and practice on a regular basis so that communication becomes effortless and easy, and you're going to build that confidence because you're not going to second guess yourself. You're not going to be worried that people won't understand you. So ask yourself questions like, what areas of your pronunciation are weakest and can be improved? Are there any specific sounds that you have the most difficulty either hearing or producing? Say, minimal pairs like the vowel sounds E and I, or maybe the consonant sound, the TH sound, right? And how are you practicing your pronunciation? Do you have a plan? Do you have a tutor? Are you getting feedback? Remember, your goal here doesn't need to be to sound like a native speaker or to develop some perfect accent. You're not a spy. Your goal here should be to be able to communicate clearly and effectively. And when you focus on it like this, what's going to happen is you're going to build a lot of confidence and no longer be second guessing yourself when approaching people and wanting to use your English.
Lastly, tip number 6 to build your confidence in English is to find speaking practice groups. Now, before COVID, the platform Meetup was really popular, and I'm sure they will be again when life returns to the way it was. And in fact, a lot of Meetup groups have continued with virtual sessions, meaning that even those who aren't in a big city can hop on a virtual Meetup and enjoy speaking with people for free. It's also a safe space for practicing your English, as everyone there is there to do the same thing. You'll meet native English speakers learning foreign languages and non-native speakers learning English, and thus experience a wide range of accents, dialects, and cultural backgrounds. They're also a great way to practice self-introductions, small talk, and having conversations with strangers, and learning how to smoothly say your goodbyes at the end of the night, which natives still struggle with every single time we leave a party. I also want to quickly highlight how to use language meetups really effectively. So point one, this is what I didn't do the first time I went to one in Germany, and it is to go early. Get started before there's a large crowd, and things won't feel so overwhelming when you enter the group. Number two is to aim to introduce yourself to a new person or group, maybe a table, every 10 to 15 minutes and work your way around the room. The next thing I want to say is probably a bit more important. I want you to aim not to be as interesting as possible, but instead to be as interested as possible. So don't try to impress people by talking about yourself or telling people loads of interesting stories. Just ask questions of other people and be curious about their answers. And then when they ask you questions, you can then go to town on practicing your English. But don't shove your English down their face. Nobody wants that, and nobody will come back to you for more. Many people think, oh, I'm here to practice English or a language. I need to talk at people as much as possible. But yeah, as I said, no one likes that. And you'll find better relationships and thus more time to converse with people in the long run if you have good manners and show a genuine interest in other people. Lastly, aim to meet up at the next week's language meetup with the people you met and liked in the previous one. Make it as much a social event as it is a language practice event. And remember, these are all going on virtually even during lockdown. But tell you what though, although I think meetups are a safer space to build your confidence, an alternative app that has blown up recently is Clubhouse, which my students are using to feel connected, build their confidence speaking to multiple people at once, and at the same time, build those islands of vocabulary due to the ease of choosing what type of room they choose, and room meaning conversation topic. So definitely check out Clubhouse. As of this recording, I think you need an invite from someone directly who already has the app, but I'm sure it won't be long before everyone can download it. So find people to practice with, practice those specific topics, and figure out ways to link between all of these islands. Go island hopping. It can be a lot of fun.
All right, guys, so there are our 6 tips for how to improve confidence when speaking English. Have we missed any? Let us know down in the comments if you have some other tips for how to build confidence when speaking English or any other language. And apart from that, thank you so much, Charlie, for joining me in today's episode. Go and check out his podcast, The British English Podcast. And until next time, all the best. See ya.